This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Later in the hour, we'll hear from the Reverend Chris Andrews, who will offer some peace in our time as things remain uncertain in our world. It is a time when many people, of course, are looking for solace from ministers and others, and one of those is always in the fray of whatever's happening in our world is political consultant Roy Fletcher. He's worked for four governors, as well as U.S. Senator John McCain, who died this year, a man of great appeal, an appeal to many liberals. Warren Beatty was one of his pallbearers, Roy Fletcher. That was kind of unexpected.
I was at the funeral, and I was on the. I got there and sit on the end so I could see the middle, the end at in the middle of the church, so I could see who the pallbearers were. And Nicole Bernstein and Warren Beatty were walking together, I think.
And that shows you something about John McCain.
Yeah.
There aren't many liberals today or conservatives who would have people on the other side of the fence at their funeral, and much less being a pallbearer.
That's true. That's true. It was very interesting. And I think it was sort of that, what was that movie?
Bullworth.
Yeah, that.
Good movie, 1998.
It was crazy, but I liked it a lot. I thought it was a fun movie.
With Halle Berry.
Yes. God, yeah. That's one of my crushes.
Really?
Wow,
she's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they had that. I was just stunned by it. I mean, and they were both really old looking.
Who?
Beatty and Bernstein. I was like,
oh, at the funeral. Well, Beatty's 81.
I was like, whoa, I saw Warren him a Beatty week later. Some old guy.
I saw him a week later at the Polo Lounge in Hollywood at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he looked pretty good. And you know what? When I was mentioned I was from Baton Rouge, the first words that came to his mouth were Stormy Daniels.
That's to be expected.
She may be the most famous Baton Rougean in the world today, born in Baton Rouge, and Stormy Daniels was not particularly well known, at least not in most circles, a year ago.
No, that's true. She was mediocre. How do you say the word? Meteoric. Yeah, meteoric. I can't say.
Maybe mediocre as well, but meteoric.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things there, but that's true, Jim. She probably is the most famous Baton Rouge.
Something our city could be proud of. Born on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day of 1979, and I remember I was a student at LSU then, and they were having a big party on Chime Street at Magoo's.
You met her?
I never met Stormy.
Uh-huh. I was at...
She was born that day.
I was. Yeah, oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're not that kind of person. I was I was laid up at Gus Wilde's office behind the old Baton Rouge General Hospital working on a Paul Hardy campaign for governor at that date.
1979.
Yes.
Hardy was the Secretary of State.
That's correct.
And he ran for governor, and this is going to be a nice segue, because 1979, I was in college. That's the first race I kind of covered.
Mm-hmm.
He had Paul Hardy, Jimmy Fitzmaurice, Lewis Lambert,
David Treen, Bubba Henry,
and Sonny Mutaw. He had six major candidates.
Six major.
And this time, we've got John Bell Edwards, Ralph Abraham, and Eddie Rasponi.
I think you should stop with the first right now.
Really?
John Bell Edwards. I mean, the problem here is that nobody really has a handle on who these other two people are. And that I'm sure they're going to cure that in the first quarter. But right now, I mean, John Bell Edwards is the only candidate running for governor. There may be some opponents to him, but he's the only candidate running.
You're not counting Ralph Abraham?
Not right now. Not until the state gets to know who Ralph Abraham is. They don't know who he is right now. I mean, he spent a lot of money on TV ads back in the fall. But, I mean, they didn't permeate the state. It's hard to build name recognition. Very hard.
Well, Roy Fletcher has worked for four Louisiana governors, and he's been involved in more than one gubernatorial campaign, and usually these things are like a two-year cycle, and now we're 41 weeks from post time, yeah. and we don't really have a race right now.
That's my point. We really don't, I think the argument is that it can be made quickly. The race can be made quickly, et cetera, et cetera. But and the other thing is that we don't know if this is the field or not. There may be somebody else getting this race. Now, I've argued that if you're going to have somebody get in this race this late, and it is kind of late, but to get in this race, you got to have somebody with state name recognition almost instantaneously and someone with the deep pockets. And that would be the argument for, you know, a guy like Eddie Rispone. I mean, you know, but somebody else can get in this race with that kind of instantaneous name recognition. It's going to be tough.
At the press club a few weeks ago, and this was when it was thought that John Kennedy was going to be the opponent of John Bell Edwards, you said that you can't beat somebody with nobody.
That's right. That's an old Earl Long saying, I think.
Okay. Well, why didn't John Kennedy get in the race? He would have been at least even money, and perhaps a slight favorite.
He'd probably a slight favorite, speaking in boxing terms,
which you're now doing. But we'll get into that later. But.
No, he would have. I think that. I mean, I have my own theories about it. I think that he made the right decision
for him.
For him. And I think that I think he finally came to the conclusion that maybe being a senator is not such a bad thing when he considered the alternative.
Well, yeah, he's always had jobs where he can pontificate and
not
get his hands dirty. But
when
you're governor, you've got to get in
this,
the
fray. This ugly stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dirt. I mean, it's hard work. You know, it's getting out in the field and pulling the plow.
But he still wants to be president. As stated in his 1969 yearbook at Zachary High School, his goal was to be president of the United States. My guess is that
that's amazing that he would write that in 1969, and he's nearly – he's accomplished a whole lot. That's pretty impressive.
And at some point, I think he will run for president, as Bobby Jindal did and as Buddy Romer did.
He might. He might. It could be.
It could be in 2020.
It could be.
He could challenge Trump.
I don't think he'll challenge Trump, but, it could be.
Somebody may challenge him from the Republican ranks.
Well, Jeff Flake will. Oh, you said Republican ranks.
Yeah, well, Jeff Flake, you don't count him as a Republican? No?
No, not really.
Really?
No.
You think he's running for president?
Though? Oh, certainly. He will run as he and John Kasich will split up to 8%.
Well, I remember Pat Buchanan, who was considered a gadfly, pushing George Bush pretty hard in 1992.
I remember... George
McGovern. In fact, you were involved in the Buchanan campaign.
In 96, yes.
The year, 4 years later.
Yeah. I remember George McGovern and Bobby Kennedy beating winning stuff.
And Gene
McCarthy. And I mean, so it's not impossible. I don't think, though, that our politics are the same as they were then. On the other hand, I don't discount anybody. I mean, this is... Politics is volatile right now and has been for a number of years now.
Well, and
getting more.
A listener notes that John Kennedy might be considered by some as being, this is Robert, might be considered an opportunist, and there may be an opportunity for a Republican to challenge Donald Trump.
Well, I hate to tell Robert, but in politics, opportunists are a dime a dozen.
But some do it better than others.
Some do it better than others. I'm amazed that John Kennedy wrote that in his yearbook in 1969. I know John, and I didn't know that.
And you've been his political
consultant. Yeah, I have, and I did not know that. He kept that hid pretty well. Good research, Jimbo.
Actually, I think it was Steve Wynum who he used to work with. By the way, Kennedy... in 1989 was the author of the fiscal reform plan, which would have raised a lot of taxes
for
Buddy Romer.
That's correct.
His brother ran the media campaign, put Eddie Robinson and Dale Brown out there promoting it, and Romer got 45%. But Kennedy has come full circle, and at the press club a few months ago, you said he learned how to read a poll.
That's correct. That's exactly what he did, and he's good at it. And what's changed with John is that John has learned to connect with people with these little country sayings that he's got.
He's good.
He is really good with that, and I commend him on that. He's really done.
Gail King of CBS.
Yes.
Says she loves her some John Kennedy.
That's right. Yeah.
Look out.
He's quotable.
We could have the second coming of Senator John Kennedy.
Being
president of the United States.
Lord.
We'll be back. 877-217-5757 is your number. More with Roy Fletcher. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Jim Engster, your host. Matt Doyle, your producer. And Roy Fletcher is the guest for a little while longer, the esteemed political consultant. 877-217-5757. And as Roy approaches his 68th birthday in a few months, he's now gotten into this ultimate fighting stuff. How's that going?
Well, I mean, I'm not an ultimate fighter, but I do. I work out with, in a pretty high intensity class that's boxing and calisthenics, all kind of stuff, and it's really helped me tremendously. It changed my brain patterns, and it's kind of relieved me of things, and it's fun being around young people that are in real great physical shape, which most of these people are, and I like it a lot. Okay. I like it a lot, and I'm gonna pursue it for as long as I can. My body can hold up.
So are those marks on your arms?
No, that's from CatScat, my cat. I'm allergic to my cat.
Really? You got a cat?
Yeah, I got a cat.
What's your cat's name?
Sweetness. I love my cat. I mean, I've always been a dog person, but I love that damn cat.
Cats are great. Good companions. 877-217-5757 for Roy Fletcher, who at 68, almost, is still in the game, and political consulting is often thought to be a young man's game. Your former colleague, Roy and James Carville, worked together.
Yep. And James still doing it.
But not as much.
Not as much. No. He's richer than
Speaking of Gus Weil, we lost him on April 13th.
Yes. And 2 days after my birthday.
I know. And he was a huge presence in both of our lives.
Yes, he was. And He was one of a kind and a Louisiana legend and character. There's nothing you can say that, I mean, Gus was just something else. He was a trip, and he was a very complex man.
No doubt.
Yeah, but he was real, real important.
A man of immense talent. And his play, which ran in New York, which was successful, ran a year.
A Geese?
You know, it opened on January 12th, 1969, the same night that the New York Jets had defeated the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III.
Is that right?
And I have a feeling that people in New York could care less about Broadway plays.
But it was packed?
Yeah, I'm sure, with Gus.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Close friends.
You know, and it was the forerunner to a really big play called Hair. It was the forerunner.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm told Gus. Now, you know, Gus would spin anything he could, yeah, so that's okay.
Well, at that time, there was a young man in New York, 22-year-old Donald John Trump, who a few months earlier had gotten his sixth draft deferment.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he didn't even know the podiatrist who wrote the report.
Well, that's not unusual, is it? Do you know your podiatrist?
No, but but if you're going to be leader of the free world, is it appropriate to have been a draft dodger?
Well, I mean, Clinton was.
He was.
Yeah.
But the difference between Clinton and Trump, and I've criticized Clinton, is that he didn't want anybody to fight in that war. But Trump was all for the war as long as he didn't have to suit up and go over there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his position was in the Vietnam War. I was one of those in 1969, 70, who was sweating out the lottery. Lord, that was you know, everybody.
Did you get a high number?
It was a solid, what, 170, and it was enough. You know, can I tell you, I never got so concerned about my grades in my life as I did when I went to college. God, you get a 2S, and you better keep your grades up. And at the time, I was at LSU Shreveport, and the word was is that it was hard, and they would flunk you. And, among the students, the word was that, they're doing that to make sure they got plenty of fodder over there, you know, as opposed to later on in the war.
Yeah, well, that was how a lot of young men stayed out of harm's way.
Yes.
And it's amazing how many doctors, PhDs, there were in the U.S. Congress around that time. Dr. Newt Gingrich, Dr. Dick Armey.
Yes.
They stayed in school for some reason, Roy.
Yes, they did. And they were a little behind me, so that was probably why I was able, once the lottery came through and I was fairly safe, it was okay. But I never forget that at the end of my college days, undergraduate school, I went to the United States Army recruiting office, and I wanted to be a helicopter pilot. And I wanted to, that was a big deal to me. Both my brothers had gone to Vietnam. One had done 3 or 4 tours there.
Real?
Yeah. And so I went, and I got this little thing, and it started asking these questions, and I'm like, "Ooh, I can't answer this honestly." They had some stuff, and
drug use,
have you ever smoked marijuana? Oh, well, I had once, or twice, or three times. I don't know how many times. But the point of it was is that I couldn't lie about it. And my father was a retired captain, and he told me, he said, "Son, don't ever lie on that stuff. The CID will come and find you." Mm-hmm. And so that kind of ended discussion of that.
Well, Roy is also a lawyer, and when you apply for a law school, they have a lot of questions like that. And if you lie, they can come back and get you years later. Have you disbarred?
Yeah. I don't know if I lied or not. I can't remember.
David in Atlanta has been waiting patiently. Good morning, David. You're on Talk Louisiana with Roy Fletcher.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year. And since the topic is lying, I can't help other than to pose this question. When President Donald John Trump says that Ronald Reagan wanted to build a wall, a Mexican wall, and Lou Cannon, Reagan's biographer, said Reagan had no interest in building a wall. I'd like to ask you, guess, how embarrassed should the American people be regarding having a liar as president? And also, should we be concerned that Donald Trump is mentally incompetent?
I kind of figured that's where we were going, Dave.
You like the president, don't you?
I do. I like him a lot.
So do you think he's a liar?
I think he can fabricate with the best of them.
Okay.
But
is he mentally incompetent?
No. Okay. No. I mean, on the other hand, let's put this. Let me deal with this Reagan wall thing because it's a fair question. The question is that does he know the history of Reagan? In other words, did he say it thinking that was true? And I don't know. I mean, but Reagan did not have a – now, he made a deal with the Democrats. I think it was in 86. Maybe it was a little later. That he would allow basically a DACA thing where he would allow people to be in the country that had gotten here illegally. But that he was going to get border security. Well, they did the illegal thing, but they never did the border security. So I don't know. I mean, it's 1-6 of one, half a dozen of the other. But it's a good question, and I don't know that he thought that Reagan didn't do that. Yeah. A
couple questions from listeners. The government shutdown, what political implications does that have? If any,
I think that the government shutdown right now is probably favoring the Democrats a little bit. Longer it goes, I think it probably maybe favor them more. On the other hand, it's interesting that Trump has decided this is the hill that we live or die on. And that's where he's going. And I think that he's dug in.
It's important to his base. And
I think it's important to his base and, and to his promise.
And the other question is a good one, and we only have about a minute. But
yes.
These other elections, it's all statewide offices are up for grabs. They're rather quiet right
They're
now.
They're very quiet. I've heard very few names mentioned at running against anybody. And it's kind of odd. Very odd.
And it's not good for a political consultant, is it?
It's not good for
You want a lot of people running.
It's kind of...
But I'm amazed that no one's running against Jeff Landry or Billy Nungesser.
Yeah, well, I mean, I heard...
Go down the list.
I heard one name against Nungesser. I don't know if it's true or not, and that's Narvi Chaubet. I don't know if that's true.
Mm-hmm. His brother Marty was just named head of the Board of Regents.
Yes.
And does not have a college degree.
That would be correct.
What does that say?
It says he's down the bayou and a good guy.
Thank you, Roy Fletcher. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Jim.
Good luck with the ultimate fighting.
Yeah.
We're back after this time out with Reverend Chris Andrews.